It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another What If with Anthony DeMarco, and tonight, this is a What If. This is definitely a What If because it hasn't happened yet, but this is more like a what happens when, and that's fine because this is a topic that is current and looking forward rather than, as our typical format would be, looking back. And that's really fun to do, but this week is going to be changed up a little bit. But it's, again, current, which I think is a good time to do it with Survivor Series right around the corner. Anthony, welcome back to the show. Tonight we are covering what if Seth Rollins becomes WWE champion.
Yeah, man. And like you said, it doesn't so much feel like a what if, but more of a when. And watching Monday Night Raw and, you know, pretty much SmackDown going back to the summertime, I don't think Seth Rollins has gotten his due just how good he is. And we rightfully talk about Roman Reigns and how damn good he's been over the last 14 months or so. But I think a guy who is quickly approaching being a close second to Roman Reigns is a guy like Seth Rollins. And I just keep thinking, like, what if this guy becomes the WWE champion? Could we see him rival Roman Reigns for which champion is almost more legitimate?
It's possible. Yeah, look, Seth does have some catch up to do with Roman on an epic streak that we haven't seen in many years. I don't think right now we can make that argument, and I don't think you're saying we can, but at the same time, Seth's body of work is one that is already Hall of Fame worthy with everything he's accomplished, of obviously him winning the WWE Championship in 2014 with the heist of the century, well done by Michael Cole there. That cemented him, and he already is a living legend, so to speak. I think when all is said and done, Seth Rollins will be considered a certainly a Hall of Famer. Legend, I may have overstated. Well, that's certainly a higher ranking of a Hall of Famer, but to put him on par with Roman Reigns, I think right now he's in the conversation. They're on separate brands, but had Roman not been in the position he is, I think Seth would have easily taken over as WWE or Universal Champion on SmackDown, maybe never moved to Raw if Roman Reigns was still his contrived babyface self. But you take Seth Rollins on Raw in a different environment, able to grow and be that top heel without the overarching Roman Reigns. This is going to be a real fun ride when Seth becomes champion.
And like you said, I think it's a question of when he becomes champion. And like, for the sake of argument, let's assume he becomes champion between now and the Royal Rumble, because I would assume that is when he gets a championship match against Big E, presumably at the TLC pay-per-view. And like you said, he would have a lot of headway to make up to catch up to Roman Reigns just because of how damn good Roman Reigns has been. But I think the fact that Seth has been able to grow this character, this new version of himself, which you have said before is kind of like a mix and all the best parts of all his former gimmicks, as let's say the Architect and the Shield member and the Kingslayer and the Beast Slayer and the Messiah, and put them all into one. And he's been able to build this character underneath Roman Reigns on SmackDown. And I was saying so much during the program between him and Edge that had they been on Monday Night Raw, they probably would have been the talk of the show, main eventing all the time. But they were always playing second fiddle to the Roman Reigns Tribal Chief angle. Rightfully so, again, because the Bloodline angle is just so brilliant right now. But the way that Seth was able to get over the drip god gimmick or whatever his nickname is at this very moment underneath Roman Reigns on SmackDown speaks volumes to how good this guy is. And people forget the incredible run he had with the WWE Championship in 2015 as the heel Architect version of himself. Probably his best world championship run to date, and probably his best run period since making the jump to the main roster in WWE. But I think should he become champion between now and, let's say, even TLC, TLC being the absolute limit, we could see Seth take his character to even new heights. And obviously not in the immediate future, but I think that he could eventually, at least get himself into the conversation with Roman Reigns, because I just think that Seth is just that damn good right now. And character aside, he's arguably the best in-ring worker in the company right now. So I just think that this is like something falling into WWE's hands right now. And I know that they're just getting started with the Big E's main event push, but it feels like Seth is a can't miss opportunity at this very moment.
Seth is, and I don't think you said it earlier that it doesn't seem Seth is getting the attention and appreciation he deserves right now. And it's because of, well, number one, Roman Reigns, even though he's not on that show, it's still as if Seth is trying to find his identity in Raw and become the heel face of Raw. And I think he's well on his way. And we do have Big E lined up for him. As you said, probably TLC, because Survivor Series is a complete throwaway pay-per-view. I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's what WWE has made it, a complete throwaway exhibition pay-per-view. We all know my thoughts on it. I think yours is about the same. So that would lend itself to say that Roman Reigns, or rather Seth Rollins and Big E, have their championship match at TLC, where it's conceivable and feasible that Seth Rollins does capture the belt at that time. And leading into WrestleMania, I am a big proponent of and believer in having heel champions go into WrestleMania. It's always typically a better story for the babyfaces to climb the mountain to get to WrestleMania rather than having them just simply defend the belt at WrestleMania. So I think Seth going in, winning at TLC, going to WrestleMania and defending the championship there, whether he wins or loses, I mean, this is all hypothetical at this point, but that's probably how it plays out. Plus, you have Big E, regardless of my personal feelings on him, which have been very clear on the show, my observation, my objective self looks at him and says he is not doing as well as I think Vince envisioned him doing in terms of crowd reaction. It's getting mildly flat. He dropped Kevin Owens on Raw to just kind of like no reaction or even slight kind of boos. I think that Big E has really zero momentum as WWE champion. And again, that's not me with my, I'm trying to make my personal feelings aside and just look at this just totally objectively and just use my eyes and ears, and he is not getting the reaction that I think a WWE champion should get. So that would lend itself to also make yours and my case that it's not such a bad thing if Big E drops the belt in a month.
And the other thing is that ever since Roman Reigns became the Universal Champion about 14 months ago, he has just left the WWE Championship in the dust. And I think that's a mixture of things. The first thing being that the Drew McIntyre babyface run had kind of run its course. And then I also feel as though that they changed the belt a lot in a matter of months. Like it went from Drew to Orton, back to Drew, then to Miz, then Bobby Lashley. And while I do think Bobby had a really nice run with the championship, and I hope it isn't his last run, I think that he did not hold the candle to Roman Reigns in terms of star power. But when I look at the WWE roster and landscape as a whole right now, aside from part-timers, like if The Rock comes back or even Brock Lesnar or John Cena, guys like that, of main event or, sorry, everyday roster guys, full-time competitors, I think the best guy after Roman Reigns on numerous levels, like whether it be star power, in-ring, reputability, all that, is Seth Rollins. I think you could have made the case for that being AJ Styles as early as a year and a half ago, but they have really kind of dumbed them down to a tag team competitor at this point. And beyond that, I really can't think of anyone. I guess maybe Randy Orton, but even him, he slid back into the tag team division. So I truly believe that Seth is the number two guy to Roman Reigns by a wide margin right now. And as much as WWE won't say it, that they're both world titles and they're on equal footing, I think there is a part of them that doesn't want to lose the prestige of the WWE Championship. And as of right now, like even when you talk about like AEW's world champion and Kenny Omega versus Roman Reigns, they're talking about the AEW world title versus the Universal world title. Like the WWE title has not been in the conversation at all over the last 12 to 15 months. And I think in a weird way, that's kind of a problem. Like, I don't know about you. Do you think that Seth Rollins is a guy who could kind of save the legitimacy of the WWE Championship in comparison to the Universal title right now?
Seth Rollins is absolutely the guy that could do. He's really the only guy available on Raw right now, as things currently stand, to bring that kind of that lineage, that that respect, the value back to the WWE Championship. Instead of it being used to elevate other guys, i.e. Big E, the guys would help elevate the belt, which is to me always the way it should be used. I don't need the other way around, because when you try to take from that belt, it does exactly that. It takes from the belt to elevate a guy when you're doing the whole formula backwards. And Seth is a guy that easily could help rejuvenate the meaningfulness, the value of that championship that has lost some, even though it's got the most lineage, it's got the most history. When you look back at all the previous champions, Hall of Famers, legends that have held that championship. You look at the Universal Championship. It was created out of thin air. What, like 7 years ago? Just created out of thin air for the brand split. And it certainly has its own lineage, but nowhere near the WWE Championship. Yet you look at the belt, the Universal Championship, that has a fraction of the lineage of the WWE Championship. You look at it in just today and look at it in a vacuum. The WWE Championship has less value right now than the Universal Championship. Again, just looking at it today, if you only looked at it in its current events as of late. But yeah, Seth Rollins could be the guy to revive it, and I think he will be the guy to help revive it. I mean, like you said, looking at the roster, I'm looking at the roster right now to make sure I don't miss anybody, and you mentioned it, like Randy Orton. He's a guy that you could challenge for it. Edge, again, we're taking the part-timers out of it. AJ Styles, we all hope goes on another run. I mean, there's really, really nobody else left. I mean, what do you have? Gable Steveson? I mean, like, you really don't have that guy, that top guy. Seth is that top guy. Seth is in a category of his own on Raw. He is the number two, but he's number one on Raw. So, yes, absolutely, Seth is that guy. And if they want to reinvigorate the WWE Championship and get it back to at least a much more respectable place of value, then Seth Rollins is your guy.
And you speak about Monday Night Raw, and that's another thing that he could get back on equal footing with its counterpart SmackDown. And I think they kind of almost overcorrected at the draft. I think they really gutted SmackDown and stacked Monday Night Raw. And if you look at like the four competitors who were in the qualifier match, or the number one contenders match for the WWE Championship, all four of those guys came from SmackDown, and the WWE champion at this very moment came from SmackDown. So that's a different argument, but I do think they may have overcorrected. But another thing that's happened over the last 12 to 15 months is SmackDown leaving Raw in the dust because of Roman Reigns and because of his brilliant championship run as the Tribal Chief. But I think that Seth, again, is a guy that could he take it away from Roman and surpass Roman anytime in the near future? Probably not, but I think he's their best shot to at least challenge for that and at least, you know, push Roman Reigns to be even better, because I think that Seth is so damn good right now and not enough people realize it. And again, going down the roster, who else would be fit that bill? I think Bobby Lashley did an admirable job, but he's not on the level of Seth or Roman Reigns. AJ Styles and Randy Orton, those are probably the two most realistic options, but at this point, they've been dubbed down to tag team competitors, and you just leave it with Seth Rollins, and he's a guy that even though he fit on SmackDown because he is so damn good, he almost just feels at home on Monday Night Raw, you know, Monday Night Rollins. He's really almost, he's been with that brand since they brought back the brand split in 2016, save for the year of 2020 and 2021 when he just got drafted back to Monday Night Raw. But I think he's a guy that bleeds Monday Night Raw much like Roman Reigns bleeds Friday Night SmackDown. So do you think him re-legitimizing Monday Night Raw is another thing that he could do in a positive way as a WWE champion?
Yeah, Seth is so invaluable right now, not just for the championship, but for the brand as a whole. And it's funny, the comment that Roman made on SmackDown that, you know, this sucks almost as much as Monday Night Raw, that was hilarious, because it's really kind of a wink and a nod to the fans that have been complaining about how terrible Monday Night Raw has been creatively. I think that's what that was. I really believe that. And And I think Seth Rollins is a guy that you could make the face of the brand. And down the line, you could eventually get back to a Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns program. Now, who's the babyface and who's the heel? I mean, we're talking probably a year or more down the line. But to keep them totally separate, they didn't really have much interaction on SmackDown at all because they were both top heels on the show, Roman more so. Seth left. Now you're creating a rivalry that we've seen in the past. We've seen quite a bit in the past. But if it does happen, and I believe it will in the future, a year or more down the line, you're now creating a fantasy matchup that we've already seen, yet the fans want to see it again because it's been so long and both characters have been completely reinvented. So that's down the line. But in the short term, Seth Rollins right now is a guy that you can build your brand around as a top heel and help out the other baby faces to really get the rub off Seth Rollins. And I think that they need that in a big way. Big E is not your guy. I'm sorry, everybody. Big E is not the guy. I think he's a good talent in the ring. I'm not going to say anything negative about him. Everyone knows my thoughts that I've always said for months now, but I think he's a formidable champion, but he's not the face of the brand. He's a strong guy. It seems like a decent guy. But I don't think you can build Big E as your champion. Seth Rollins is the guy that you would want everything else to revolve around.
And that's the other thing, is that you don't want just a formidable champion. You want a guy who's going to take it to the absolute best possible limit. And when you have Roman Reigns over on SmackDown doing what he's doing, you need a guy that can challenge against him. And again, I use Bobby Lashley as an example, and I think Bobby Lashley had a hell of a run, and he still did not hold the candle to Roman Reigns. And it was nothing because of him doing something specifically wrong. It was because the star power wasn't there. But with Seth Rollins, it is there. And let's say you had Braun Strowman as the Universal Champion right now, like he was from March 2020 till SummerSlam, until Roman came back around. I think then you could maybe say, okay, give Big E a chance with the WWE Championship. They could jockey for position as to who's the better one. But when you have a guy as red hot as Roman Reigns over on SmackDown, you need a guy challenging for him that's somewhat legitimate. And it was the same kind of concept, but in reverse, when you had Drew as WWE champion and Braun as Universal champion. You always want them to feel on somewhat equal footing, at least in my opinion. You don't want to feel that one world champion is much more inferior to the other. And unfortunately right now, and it's not even a testament to how bad Big E is per se, but just that, like you said, he's nothing more than just an adequate world champion, while you have a Roman Reigns who is taking it to an absolutely different level each and every passing week. And it would be different if you did not have an option to go up against Roman Reigns. Like if Big E was your biggest guy at the moment, you'd be like, okay, well, this is the best we got. But he's not the best you got. You have Seth Rollins right there. And again, I'm not saying that Seth is going to surpass Roman in the immediate future and Roman will be the forgotten guy, but I just think that the best possible case you have is Seth Rollins. And then to your point, you can build towards Seth and Roman eventually. So to me, it's a no-brainer to go with Seth Rollins.
This really is. It's just a matter of now bringing it back kind of home here. It's not a what if, it's a when. It would be really the crime of the century, not even the heist of the century. It'd be the crime of the century if Seth Rollins is not your WWE champion, you know, before even Royal Rumble. I mean, like, I would say Royal Rumble would be my limit before I would just be very befuddled as to what the hell WWE is doing. But it all depends on how much longer do they think they've got any value to squeeze out of Big E, or will they piss off the fans that are really behind Big E, although I don't really hear a whole lot of him on Monday Night Raw. His entrance music is not inspiring. It's not very. It's just a song. It's not. It's not like anything energetic. It's like what does it say at the very beginning? You want to go big? You say that. Like what the hell does that mean? Like what is that supposed to? It's not anything anybody can chant. It's kind of a generic song. There's nothing really fun about – well, I shouldn't say fun. There's nothing that you can look at Big E and say, man, this guy has got something big going on. No pun intended. He's just the extension of the New Day that has again, been the fault of creative from the get-go that I've said, and he just is not inspiring. I'm sorry. And it just depends on how long they want to hang on to this and not have Twitter lose their minds that, again, WWE ends up cutting short somebody's championship run. I don't know, because it hasn't been too long since WWE gave that championship to Big E. It's been quite a while, or it's almost been like, what, 2 months, a month? I don't even know, like maybe between 1 and 2 months since Big E became champion. And I think that they at least want 3 to 4 months out of it. I don't think they want to cut it short this quickly, although maybe their argument is if they do that, that'll put the heat on Seth. That Seth is the one that cut it short, and they're trying to transfer the heat to Seth rather than the company. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But Seth, if anybody could do it, Seth could be the guy to do it. I'm all for getting Big E the championship the hell off of him as quickly as possible. I don't even care if he's stripped of the championship on Monday Night Raw, Adam Pearce goes rogue, and Seth is awarded the championship. I think that would be – I mean, like, I really wouldn't care. I mean, Triple H has done it when he was part of the Authority. Of course, Seth was in a different place, but I really wouldn't care. I really would not care at this point, because I think it would do the championship justice, and I think it would do Monday Night Raw justice. The heat would be ultra hot on Seth Rollins. It's just really, it's a win-win to me. And I think that Big E needs time away from the championship. He doesn't feel comfortable as champion. He doesn't feel like our champion. He's just the guy that cashed in at the right time, that's out there holding the championship for someone else.
Well, let me ask you something. If Bobby Lashley was still champion, or you had a guy, let's say like Drew, as WWE champion when he was at his best, would you feel as strongly about Seth getting the strap as you do right now with Big E as champion?
I think, well, okay, if all else was equal, Big E never happened. Even with Drew, again, if Drew was still in the picture, I mean, he would already have turned heel by just default, because the fans were this close to turning on him anyway. Like, I mean, this close. They already started, you know, before he got out of the picture, of like groans when Drew McIntyre's music would hit, facing Bobby Lashley again, or he's talking about the WWE Championship again. So he was already turning heel just by a default. So I would have still felt strongly that Seth needs to take the helm here. But if Bobby Lashley was still champion, I would have actually been okay with it, because Seth, Bobby Lashley at that point had been champion for many months. I mean, he would have been champion for 6+ months. I would have been fine with Seth coming in right now and, say, winning it at TLC. That would have given Bobby Lashley a long enough time to say he had a legitimate run, to see what we really have out of Bobby Lashley. And I think that would have been fine. I think that with really Bobby Lashley not on Raw lately is kind of puzzling. I don't know what's going on with him. Different topic. Maybe they're getting him ready for Brock Lesnar next year. I don't know, speculation, but Bobby Lashley right now, if he was still champion, I would still feel strongly, not as strongly to answer your question, because I dislike Big E so much as champion, but I'd still feel like, okay, it's time to for a changing of the guards. Let's see what our top heel can do as champion.
And one thing that you've said during this that has really stuck with me, and one of the reasons why I would really want Seth Rollins to become champion, is because it eventually has to lead to a match with Roman Reigns. And I know people always default back to, well, they had a match at, what was it, Money in the Bank in 2016.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm saying, well, there wasn't a real build to that match. And it resulted in Dean Ambrose cashing in the WWE Championship. And hello, it's Money in the Bank. It wasn't at SummerSlam. It wasn't at WrestleMania. It wasn't even at Royal Rumble. And I've said this numerous times. I think it's an absolute crime that no two members of the Shield have ever faced off at a WrestleMania. Obviously, Dean Ambrose, now Jon Moxley, is off in AEW. So now it leaves Seth and Roman. But I think for that match to feel legitimate, like you said at the beginning of this show, there is a lot of work to be done for Seth to get to Roman's level. Again, nothing to do with Seth, a testament to just how damn good Roman Reigns is right now. But if that is going to happen, I think it is absolutely imperative that he gets a lengthy run with the WWE Championship sooner rather than later. And even more so than that, I think it's imperative that he becomes the face of Monday Night Raw. And I don't want to see another run that, like, he just loses the championship, even at WrestleMania. Like, I don't want him to win it at TLC and then drop it at WrestleMania. I think that he should have a run that maybe goes all the way until SummerSlam of next year, because we have not seen him have a run like that since 2 years ago when he dropped it to The Fiend in Saudi Arabia, and that run will forever be tainted because of how badly it ended with The Fiend that started at Hell in a Cell. And we have not seen him hold, I think, any championship of any kind since, aside from the tag team titles with Murphy when he first started the Messiah run. So I just think that they have a golden opportunity here to build to Seth versus Roman Reigns sometime in the near future, kind of like what they've been doing with Drew and Roman for the last year since their exhibition match of Survivor Series in 2020. So I think that one of the biggest end goals to this, to Seth winning the WWE Championship and going on this run and becoming the face of the Monday Night Raw brand, would be to build towards, for lack of better terms, a dream match versus Roman Reigns, ideally at a WrestleMania. What do you think?
Yeah, like, that has to be in the minds of creative, and you know, I wouldn't rush it. Like, we both have agreed that there's a lot of work to be done with Seth, and I would say that why not just somewhat duplicate the formula that they're using with Roman from SmackDown onto Raw? Now, I'm not saying exactly, because there are different elements. Seth doesn't have a group, although maybe that's a conversation too. Is should he have some cronies of some sort? But Seth right now could, in WWE, could kind of use that as a template for Seth Rollins to do what he's going to do on Monday Night Raw. I think with Seth Rollins doing what he's doing right now, it's working, but I think that there's you could take it to another level. And I'm all for Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I think that you said it right. Like, that is something that is insane that hasn't happened at WrestleMania. And with them in their own two worlds doing their own two things separately, nobody's talking about the other. It's going to start, like you said, to create that, oh my God, wait a minute. I know they're both heels, but this would be freaking awesome. Now, one of them will eventually have to turn babyface for that match to be compelling, and maybe it is Roman Reigns that does that. I think Roman would actually be a better – I can't believe I'm saying this, but once it happens, I think Roman would be a better babyface than Seth, because Seth is just – it meant to be a heel. And I think that with this growth that Roman has shown us, that you could have a babyface Roman. And I think people are already starting to cheer for him organically because he's so damn good and he is the best part of SmackDown every week. So I think Roman Reigns, when it's ready and when it's time, of course, there's The Rock looming out there. Drew McIntyre is looming out there. He's got some big competitors to get through, and they've got time. This is just another ace in their pocket that they could pull out at any time. Hopefully it is a while. Of Seth versus Roman. Now, one last thing I'll say, and I'll toss it to you, is Seth, in order to do this, in order to talk about any of this and make any of this a reality that we're talking about, they need to not just duplicate the formula, but have Seth get some damn big wins, like incredible wins, not just these fluke wins or pulling of the tights or, you know, behind the referee's back stuff. That can happen every once in a while to if you're in a pinch as a heel, fine. But Roman outright beats people. Like, he very rarely cheats to win. Sometimes he's the benefactor of Lady Luck, like with The Fiend and the top rope breaking. He just happened to luck into that victory. But more often than not, he just bludgeons his opponents. And I think Seth has been hurt by the lack of consistent big wins. And I point to Edge and Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell as the latest example. While I love Edge a lot, I think Seth should have still been the guy to win that. Because the future is Seth. The future is not Edge. When Edge returns, nobody's going to really remember that. Everybody's just going to be like, oh, cool, Edge is back. Who is he fighting next? Seth is there every week. To me, Seth needs these big victories. Every time you turn around, he'll get like a small victory here and there, but he'll lose the war. Kevin Owens at WrestleMania a couple of years ago is another example. And he lost to Cesaro this past year at WrestleMania. So I think right now, Seth Rollins needs massive victories. He needs consistent big victories, not just these fluky wins or cheating to win. That's what I say.
No, I agree. And I think that one of the worst booking decisions, and I can't even say worst per se, but I was really disappointed when Seth lost the Hell in a Cell match to Edge. And it's so weird having that roll off my tongue because Edge is such a living legend, but it just wasn't a program that I felt that Seth had to win. And it feels like Seth has always lost the big matches as of late. And, you know, the last two WrestleManias, he's lost to Kevin Owens and Cesaro. He loses to Edge inside Hell in a Cell. I'm not really sure how the Rey Mysterio angle ended, but to be honest, I don't really give a damn either. Like, it just kind of feels like he's looking for that big conquering moment like he did against Brock Lesnar almost 2 years ago now, or what is it, almost 3 years ago. My God, time flies, eh? Mm-hmm. And just, I feel like he's had a lot of rebuilding to do since that infamous angle with the Shield, and that's okay. And I understand that, but at the same time, I'm almost saying to myself that it's about time that we get Seth back to the level that we know he can and should be at. And the what he can and should be at is a level almost on par with where Roman Reigns is right now. And I kind of equate it to Stone Cold Steve Austin was always at the very, very, very top. But right under him, you had The Rock. And now I'm not saying that Roman and Seth are Austin and Rock, but it's that similar concept. Do you kind of know where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that if you don't capitalize on how good Seth is right now, you will look back on this and say, damn, did we not even know what the hell we had right now? And I understand, I've come on here and said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that like maybe Brock versus Roman is this generation's Rock versus Austin in terms of a rivalry. And I don't know if Seth or Roman could ever get to that because you've lost so many years already. But you can get back to it in the sense that you could build Seth to this generation's top dog alongside Roman Reigns. And in a lot of ways, I think that Seth already is there, that he's been almost kind of like the face of this company for a long time. But I think it's just a testament that I think that he could go even that much higher.
He can. Look, there's no doubt about it. We've seen the rise of Seth from, what, 6 months ago? I mean, think about where he was, floundering, big loss after big loss. He's with he's the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's with Buddy Murphy. He's not with Buddy Murphy. He's in an infinite program with Rey Mysterio. He's, you know, he has had some really just bottom of the barrel moments where it's just these ongoing programs that don't stop. He's been, again, kind of just soul searching for his identity as a character, being the burn it down, being the Messiah, kind of not being the Messiah, being this hybrid version. And he's whatever the hell this is. And I don't even know what to call this other than just like I've described it, just pulling from everything that he's done and just taking all the best parts of it and sticking into whatever the hell this is. This guy that comes out and does a hilariously obnoxious dance at the beginning of his music, still has Burn It Down, but it's not the same song. His outfits are just hilarious, but also annoying. He doesn't make me want to cheer for him. That's a good sign. There's no redeemable qualities about him to make me cheer for him. He's just found whatever the hell this is, I can't put my finger on it, is what he should stick with. So he's done a lot of soul searching. He's done a lot of – he's had an identity crisis is the best way to put it for Seth. I couldn't figure out what he is. He's got people with him. He doesn't have people with him. AOP's with him. They're not. Buddy is in and out. Like, it was just – it was a mess. His career was a mess for a couple of years, and the pandemic didn't help. And now he has landed on something solid that he can – just used to springboard into that level of Roman Reigns. And I hope that WWE recognizes it, just like you said, and they don't just look at this and go, oh, he's just a good opponent for a Big E. Then we know that he'll put on a good match. He always puts on good matches. And that's not the problem. But he's a good opponent for Big E, and we're going to really put our focus on Big E. I hope they don't make that mistake.
If, just for argument's sake, if for whatever reason they got Seth to the level that we're talking about right now, do you think that eventually we could be talking about Seth as, let's say, a top 10 performer of all time?
Oh, I think in some circles he's already there. When you say top 10 performer, I mean, you're saying the Mount Rushmore Are you saying like a Mount Rushmore, or like in ring quality, a 5-star match type of guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, again, in some circles, he's already in that conversation. I would say he's a fringe top 10 for me already there. And I mean, depending on the day and my mood, maybe he's already there. I mean, the thing is, though, to get to that, say, top 5, top 3, man, that is just, you're talking about rarefied air, that you got to have everything come together. Even if it's perfectly planned, sometimes the most perfect plans don't work out. It's almost like the wrestling gods in the universe have to smile upon you for things like that to happen, for you to reach that top tier. That's something that can't be produced necessarily. The crowd's going to have a big say in that, obviously. But it's almost as if you can't have anything go wrong, where he has to cut that A-plus promo. He has to consistently be excellent in the ring. He can't get an injury, you know, where he's out 3 to 6 months or longer. There's so many ifs and just moving parts that to get into that conversation, or to at least make that a reality that we're talking about, it's going to require luck. It's going to require a perfect, near perfect booking for Seth over a long period of time, not just 2 months, 3 months. I'm talking like a couple of years, like 1, 2, 3, 4 years of just at least generally good to great booking for Seth. He's going to continue to have to improve his mic skills. In-ring has never been a problem. So it's absolutely possible. And he's already in some people's conversation, some people's minds, he's already there. I don't think he's quite in that top tier where I'd look at him and go, oh man, that's a Flair. That's an Austin. That's a Rock. That's a Taker. That's a Hogan. No, he's not there yet. He's in like that level or level and a half below that right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I just hope that they really pull the trigger on it here, because I think that they could maybe get to that, but I just hope that we're not sitting here in like 5-10 years from now thinking like what could have been.
Yeah, that'll be our other show of, yeah, WWE's missteps or something. I hope not. You know, Seth Rollins, you look at his career, it's hard to say that they've underutilized him based on all the championships he's won, based on all the main events he's been in, all the great matches he's been a part of. It's hard to say that he was underutilized. But what I will say is, yeah, he wasn't underutilized, but right now he's never felt more comfortable as a performer. He's never felt more real and as solid, well-rounded is, I think, the best way to put it, as a performer than right now. In-ring has always been a non-factor. It's always been really good to great. It's the character perspective. It's finding out if he's a better heel than a babyface, and I think it's very clear he's way better as a heel than a babyface that never felt comfortable at all. So right now they have everything lined up. Seth has been through the ringer. He's taken his lumps. He's been through soul searching. He's had an identity crisis, as I said earlier. It's time to just press the gas and let's see what Seth Rollins can do. Let's see where he can take us, because ultimately it's the main event of WrestleMania with Roman Reigns at some point.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And again, like, out of all the full-time competitors right now, is there anyone that could really hold a candle to Roman Reigns aside from Seth Rollins?
Roman Reigns is exactly what he says he is. He is on an island unto himself. He is truly at the top alone. There is nobody right now on his level. Yeah, Brock Lesnar is maybe even a bigger star name value, but right now Roman Reigns is the guy. He is exactly what he says he is. That's what makes it great. Nobody's on Roman Reigns' level right now. Nobody.
Yeah, and there isn't. And again, that's more of a testament to just how good Roman Reigns is as opposed to everyone else. But do you not agree that at least theoretically maybe Seth could get there?
Oh, no doubt. You know what? WWE would be foolish not to even try. Why would you not want a parallel story going on that fans can dream about, and to create a new dance partner for Roman that would ultimately help elevate him too? It would be foolish to not elevate other people with Roman. Roman needs people to dance with. He can't just continue to cycle through the same people every week, every month. And Seth Rollins on another show, he's able to breathe. He's not being overshadowed by the excellence of Roman Reigns. He is the best heel on the show. So they need to take it and run as far as they can with this, because Seth has the breathing room. There's nobody better than him as a heel right now on Raw. This is right now a really perfect scenario for Seth Rollins, a perfect environment. When we look back at this draft, we are probably going to say, in a year that this, out of all the moves that happened on this draft, this was probably the most significant, to get Seth the hell off SmackDown and be able to have an environment of, and be the face of a show where he has room to grow. And Seth Rollins coming to Raw, we're going to probably say, is my prediction, is the biggest move of the draft this year.
So one closing question I have for you, and then I'll give my thoughts on it after. Given to how big of stars we've seen Roman become and Seth become, and obviously even John Moxley / Dean Ambrose, would you feel comfortable in saying that's the greatest wrestling faction of all time?
Ooh. I would say they are one of. The thing is, nostalgia is playing a part in my brain right now, where I was living through D-Generation X. I lived through that in my childhood, and we all look back on our childhoods, most of us, with wrestling memories as like, oh, that was the greatest, whatever. Whatever your childhood was and watching wrestling, everyone believes that was the greatest. And it's just, that's part of it. So I would say they are one of. Individually, they produced more main event talent than D-Generation X did. I mean, yes, you had Triple H and Hunter, or Triple H and HBK, but who was the third guy that was another main eventer? I mean, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, like X-Pac? I mean, who was it? So in terms of number of main eventers that they produced, absolutely. And longevity of these performers as well. So it depends on the metrics you're using to define what is the greatest group. But if you're going to use it as how many main eventers came out of this and were able to help the company long term, yeah, you could say the Shield may be the greatest faction of all time. If you're looking at in terms of like merchandise moved as a group, in terms of like edginess or comedy, I mean, you probably give that to D-Generation X, although we don't know the numbers of merchandise in total. I mean, I would argue that DX sold more merchandise than the Shield did in their existence, and that's saying something. DX was – people forget how massive DX was. I mean, I remember going to school and actually getting scolded for wearing a DX Suck It t-shirt. I had to sneak out of my house so my parents wouldn't see me wearing it, and then the teachers would see it and say, yeah, you got to take it off or turn it inside out. But people, you know, really do forget that. However, to answer your question, they are in the conversation. It just depends how you define the greatest.
I would argue that Evolution is up there too, because you kind of made a star like Randy Orton and even a guy like Batista out of it. But I believe Seth Rollins said it on the Broken Skull Sessions, where he said they're the only group that every world where every member eventually became a world champion. And I don't know if they were taking Evolution into account, because Triple H and Ric Flair were already multi-time world champions when that group came to fruition. But I mean, when you think about it like that, that those guys came up through NXT together and then all went on to become, I believe all of them are Grand Slam champions as well, even Dean Ambrose / Jon Moxley. That's pretty damn impressive. And I remember they were the ones who really got me back into wrestling, because I stopped watching from 08 right up until 2011. I peeked my head back in when The Rock made his return, but he wasn't full-time by any stretch of the imagination. And when they debuted at Survivor Series 2012, 9 years ago, which is just mind-boggling to think about, I remember thinking, damn, this is a really cool group. And they caught my attention right away. And whether it be them just doing their own thing, when they had the feud with the Wyatts, when they became the henchmen to the Authority, I'll always remember the visual of like Randy Orton as the new champion, like flanked by Stephanie and Triple H in the ring, and then standing in front of the ring, kind of like the watchdogs were the Shield. And you had Roman and Seth with the tag team titles and Dean Ambrose with the U.S. championship. And then they went on for their epic babyface turn, one of the best turns ever, when they came out to save Daniel Bryan the night after WrestleMania. And then we know what they all individually went off to. And I just think it's incredible to see something like that work out, because when it does come to fruition, an angle like that where a faction breaks off and they all reach like individual success as they all have, it's something to be seen.
Definitely. You know, and that is true. I mean, Evolution, of course, is one that produced maybe the biggest stars in terms of WWE's history that they've ever seen. Yes, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are big stars, and obviously Dean is in AEW, actually, as we all know, working through alcohol issues. But in terms of like sheer star power, Evolution may be the greatest of all time. And just sheer star power, Batista, Triple H, Randy Orton, Ric Flair, like that's a powerhouse of a team, even more so than DX, even more so I think than the Shield. I mean, yeah. So if you're defining greatness in terms of that, yeah, definitely. But if you're in terms of the ultimate goal being trying to produce individual singles world champions, then, you know, the Shield is probably the most successful and greatest at that. I mean, because ultimately I think that is the goal of any team, any tag team even, and any faction, is to create ultimately stars that they star power that they can utilize on their own in their own singles career. I think ultimately that is the goal of any team or any faction, not to just stay together forever, although apparently the New Day is immune to that theory. You know, that is, to me, yes, the ultimate goal. And yeah, definitely. So this has been great. I mean, I didn't anticipate getting so passionate about Seth Rollins at 9 o'clock on a Monday night. But Seth Rollins right now has me excited about Monday Night Raw, and or Monday Night Rollins, if he wants to call it that. And yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I'm optimistic at least that they're going to recognize the value in Seth and look around and go, well, yeah, there's really no one else anyway. Let's do this, you know? So any closing thoughts?
No, that's all I really wanted to touch on. And just like you said, now I'm all excited, and I'm going to be damn pissed if he doesn't beat Big E for the WWE Championship. I know, see, I'm telling you that.
We talked ourselves into it. We got ourselves all hyped up, and now we're going to be double pissed if Big E. let me tell you this. If Big E, whenever this happens, because it won't happen in Survivor Series because Big E has to face Roman because, you know, brand rivalry. Apparently, we are all just blindly loyal to the color of our shirt. It's so stupid. But that said, when this happens with Big E and Seth, if it's TLC, which it looks like it is, and Big E just flat out beats him straight up, I mean, that is going to be, to me, such a not only a pissed off moment, but also a just a message. They all love to send their messages. That'll be a direct message to fans that we're going all in on Big E, and which I think is a big, big mistake, pun intended. It's a big mistake to do that. So, I mean, imagine that, right? He just takes the big ending, 1-2-3, and Big E's still your champion.
Well, let's all hope for a big ending for Big E's title reign. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. If we can continue with the puns, guys, if you'd like. All right. Well, this is, as always, such a great time. And I've got some suggestions, and I'll share them offline with you from some patrons and emailers about what our next what if should be. And we'll figure that out. But in the meantime, thanks, Anthony. And share any social media you'd like with our listeners.
Yeah, as always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. If you want, check out my Instagram page with my latest World Heavyweight Championship victory. Do that at the same handle. And as always, you can catch me every Friday right on here with my rivalry show. So the latest rendition was Orton versus Brock from just about 5 years ago now. A really cool one. So go check that out.
Yeah, when he busted open Randy Orton. I remember that. And then Jericho was all pissed about it backstage. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good stuff. That rivalry, I can't believe that's been 5 years since that happened. Yeah, check that out, everybody. And of course, Instagram, and check out his newly won and earned WWE World. Well, it's the World Heavyweight Championship. Go check it out. And thanks so much, brother. And we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, man. Can't wait to do it again.
All right. Take care.
Dave. Hmm.